But listen, Mac, I can only watch so much of that stuff, and I need to be doing something, you know. And so anyways, December comes around, they release me. Now, I'm already talking to my body. See, I'm already, from before I went in surgery, I knew what the scripture said when Jesus told him, go to the other side. See, I done learned that what God has said in my life, sometimes he don't tell you all the mess and the trials that you're going to go through to get to the vision that you have that he's given you. So that's where trust and development comes in on the journey going to the other side. You know, I simply, just like that, you know, woohoo, boy, I'm happy, Mac. I get released, man. Yes, I'm driving up and down Blountsville again. Hey, man, I wanted to go to work so bad. You know what I did? I told Teresa, I said, I'm going to water that pony up there. Don't you pick up nothing. I said, listen, I won't. I said, I'll use a glass. I dipped out, I don't know how many gallons with the glass. A glass, Mac. That's all I could lift, just a glass. Praise you, Jesus. I want to pick up the whole, I'd had to haul it up there. And so I filled it up in the back of the Gator, you know. I'm used to getting the whole 5-gallon bucket, man. Oof. I can feed this, and it took me nearly two hours to feed one pony, and I've been doing it in 5 minutes. But you know what? I was determined to go to the other side. See, you got to be determined to go to the other side of your trial and not quit in the middle of the trial that you're having. Whatever trial comes your way, hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, church services are a little dry. Have you noticed that around here? Good Lord, it's dry in here, Lord. Shannon's over. No, he's drinking. He's always got a full cup. It's not ever that services are dry. It's just that we got to draw out of the wells of salvation in times when it seems dry. You know? And so here I go, you know, and I'm going to the other side in this heart attack thing, you know. Praise God. Because you know what? See, you got to realize that when you look in the mirror, that's not really you. You are on the inside. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. See, I realized that scripture even greater when I used to go. I knew that I was called to preach, so I thought, well, I got to know how funerals are. So I'd find out where funerals was and call them in the different places and when they're having them. And I didn't know nobody, and I'd go sit in the back. I just sat in the back of them funerals and go through the whole funeral session. They just thought I was cousin or somebody. Seen you in a long time, homie. I didn't know nobody in there. Absolutely nobody. They just, some of them thought I was, how are you kin to so-and-so? And I'd be like, I'm not. I'm observing. I was just there observing. I want to know how them preachers did them funerals and stuff. You know, I learned a lot of stuff. I learned a lot. They used my favorite scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I thought, good God, man, this is not a funeral. That's not a funeral scripture. That's mine. The Lord, Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still, not raging waters, still waters. Right? He don't lead me in dried up green pastures. He leads me dried up pastures, but he leads you in green pastures. But see, it's not up to God in mine and your life. God's already planned out our life. And God gives us a will and vision. And we either do with that, you know, just like today, I put on Facebook later on, I said, God has given me a sermon, you know, go to the other side. I said, and I'm talking to you. I said, you've been thinking about going to church. You've been thinking about getting back in church. I'm talking to you. Come on today, and God will minister to your life. See, you can. They're sitting at home and getting no vision. Benny Hinn ain't got it on TV. I'm telling you, God has set this thing up to where when he puts something on somebody's heart to do, whether it's go to church or what, you're not going to get anything from anywhere else but wherever he's telling you. That's why Lot went the wrong way, like Monty taught us. Lot took like what he thought. See, we can't try to figure our life out and how to take care of us. Lot thought that ground would take care of him and he would be blessed. Lot chose what it looked like in the natural. But Abraham took what he felt like the Lord was telling him to do, and he goes off over and Abraham prospers. See, prosperity, our prosperity's not got to do whether somebody gives us a break or not, or whether, you know, Bluntsville gets a new, they got all new people in there and everybody was happy this year. I ain't seen nothing done yet. Just cause new change of that don't mean anything's gonna happen. This city's waiting on the church. This city's waiting on Jesus. Blount County is waiting on the church to rise up and go to the other side. To rise up and go to the other side of their trial and their hardship and all of that, and still proclaim out there to this lost and dying and thieving world that Jesus is still Lord. That's why I had that put up there, man. I almost paid them to put that up there. Jesus is Lord. I'm not religious at all. A guy one time, he calls me up and he said, hey, he said, I need some food. If you're religious and put on a spiritual front and you're different when you leave, you know, you're just religious. You won't feel comfortable here. But if you get right with Jesus, then you'll feel comfortable here. Because we're not religious. I'm not religious. That stuff is rotten. This judgmental, harsh, hard to deal with, hard to be around people. The people that's religious, they're hard to be around. Jesus, that's why the sinners loved him. Man, they just flocked to that man. The sinners loved him. The religious people couldn't stand him. He said, I need some food. I said, I'll meet you at the church and give him the address. And I was going to run home like a good preacher ought to, Mac, take a shower. I give myself plenty of time. But I got down there on that filthy job that I worked. And it took me a lot longer. And I was dirty. I'm talking about dirty, man. I've been working in this old factory and, you know, on garage doors. And so I barely made it back in time. And so I pulled up and I asked the guy, I said, hey, I said, can I help you with something? I got out, you know, and my hair's coming out under my cap. And I had on my muscle shirt with a t-shirt under it that it was all, and I wiped, it was hot. You know, wiped all that dirt, I'm dirty. But I'm committed to get back here and get this guy some food. I don't care if hell freezes over, I'm going to be here. This is the will of God. Everything tried to get in my way to stop me. See, it ain't just about church. It's about the will of God for your life and what God has in store for you. And you overcoming every obstacle that tries to get in the way of you obeying the Lord. Because obedience, the Bible says, is better than you sacrificing. He said, I'm waiting on the pastor. You're the pastor? I said, yeah. He said, you don't look like a pastor. I said, well, what do I look like, man? He said, you just look like the laid-back drink of Budweiser type. That's all you look like. That's what he said. And I said, well, you know what? I said, I'm just like Jesus. Come on, man, let's get you some food. I said, I'm just like Jesus. You are? I said, yeah. And so we left, and I started thinking about it. I thought, Lord, I didn't set that up. I was aimed to go home and get cleaned up and, you know, present myself as the pastor and like I should, and nothing wrong with that, you know. But you know what? The Lord told me, he said, you're just you. He said, I'm in you, and you're not willing to sway from that. He said, you didn't care about what you looked like and all of that. You were there to meet my need, he said, my need. He didn't say that guy's need. He said, you were there. You put off other work and everything. You were there to meet my need. See, when we meet other people's needs, We're not meeting their need. We're meeting God. We're meeting His need, and it glorifies Him. It glorifies the Lord in, you know, in our hearts. We go off later and I think, man, God, You've called me. This is awesome. I mean, just I stand and You're a part of it. It's God's vision. It's not even mine. I don't even know what I'm doing. Well, it sure doesn't look like it does, because He's King. That's the only reason. I'm following Jesus. You know, and I stood out one day at the Lord. He told me, he said, I want you just to go back. And He said, I want you not to do anything and watch the workers. Because I'm all caught up in it, you know. And I go on the outside and I'm looking down on the inside and I'm seeing everything I need to be doing then. See, sometimes you got to just back up out of your trial. You got to back up and you got to take a look at what God is saying. Hallelujah. What is He saying for your marriage? What is He saying for your finances? What is He saying about your kids? I remember a time when Travis got saved and got married and started going off like them little heathens was and just doing things, you know, and all of that stuff. And I know how I felt. I thought, oh, man, and the devil, you're going to lose him. He's going to backslide, blah, blah, blah. He's going to, you know, and all of these things. And I had a backpack blower on, and I was blowing leaves. And I told the Lord, I said, Satan's a liar, Lord. I don't care what it looks like, bless God. My son will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I raised him up in the admonition of the Lord, and I got on that devil, and I shut him up right quick in my mind and in my heart. And I begin to declare that, God, You will bring out what You called him to be, Lord. I don't know if he's a preacher. I know he's got music in him. I know, Lord, and You will. I begin to declare. See, I will refuse not to see the other side of the promise that I'd raised my son in church all his life. Some people don't see the importance of raising their kids in church.
Well, it's just church.
No, you're about ankle deep. You ain't went over ankle deep in 30 years. If all you see is it's about church, you're not even ankle deep. I'm not saying that to make... Listen, we got to see to the other side. They're going to grow up. Right? They're going to want to get married, right? They got a bad world out here, right? You got AIDS and herpes and you've got all kinds of stuff, right? You've got a lot that would take advantage of a young man. There's women today, you know, that's worse than guys. But no, we've got to make sure. See, I saw to the other side when Travis was 5. I went in there and laid my hands on him and blessed him. I said, I bless You in the name of Jesus, son. I said, I bless this boy, Lord. You gave this boy to me to raise up. And Teresa, to raise up, Lord. We're not going to be able to keep him. He'll get 18, be like me, and gone. And Lord, I bless him today. And I proclaim, see, I was seeing to the other side, not just he's 5 years old and bumping into the counter with his head and getting on my nerves. Kids get on your nerves. You ever notice? But you know what? When we're up 50, 60, 70 and they're out there got their own life, we'll remember all those either good memories that we had or we just, it's kind of like Teresa. She said, I didn't enjoy Travis because I spent too much time raising him. And I thought the difference. I thought, well, I let her raise him and I enjoyed it. See, you don't want that scenario. You want to raise them and enjoy them at the same time. You want all that at the same time. I never looked forward to Travis leaving and Teresa wanted him going at 15. But see, the other side, what I'm saying here, what I believe God is saying, is what do you see? What do you see? Are you dreaming about 2021? Or are you just, look, we went with Teresa and I don't remember who it was, went to the river, neck to river one time. We was lost. Brenda, we went down there to that river, and it had been raining for 2 or 3 days, Mac. And that river gets out of banks. Dangerous river. when that river's up and flowing, this is a dangerous river. But I was raised on that river. I went from the time I was seven, eight years old up till I met Teresa. We went swimming every evening. We went when Coach Dixon was struck with lightning. We went, the ambulance was there. We're telling Dad he's lightning. I said, I don't care, Dad. We don't care. We want to go swimming. We don't care about lightning. We want to go swimming. He got struck by lightning on the ball practice field that very same day. We're down there, but anyways, I don't know why. I guess we're going swimming. I don't really know. Anyhow, we go to the river, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the other side. And that water is just flowing, and it's up pretty good. You know, but the swing and everything is over there that we dove off of and swung off of and all of that, you know. And standing there, and I thought, I'd make it to the other side. We got to talking, and all of us got in there together. Whatever we said, I don't remember. But I remember. We said, we'll go the other side. We're going the other side. So we dive in. We dive in that flowing, raging river. And, you know, I realized right quick, don't swim upstream. I realized right quick, upstream's going to take me under. See, we just got to flow with God. We can't go against Him. I mean, you know, we're facing these troubled times in our life and will in the future. And the way of God is not always the way of least resistance. But it's a way of fight. And so I'm telling them, swim downstream. Swim across downstream. That's how we made it across. But you know what? It took us a little bit away from our destiny. That was dangerous. We could all got drowned. Really. And so when I got up down there, I thought, this is not where I want to be. So upstream I went down there. I'm walking up. And I got up there and I stood on the other side where I intended to be to start with. Now see, things sometimes will come and try to move you away from the destination that you see in your heart. For your kids, look, where's Travis today? I wouldn't take that lying devil, and he was going the wrong way. I pulled him down out of ministry and everything. You think you're going to live anyway and be in ministry here? Not going to happen. If I'll pull my son down, not that we're perfect, I'm not perfect. But we got to have a heart after God if we're going to do ministry, whether it's toting boxes or anything. And I've had people to say, well, my heart's not in it. And I tell them, get it in it. Don't quit because your heart ain't in it. Do something to get your heart in it. Well, my heart ain't been in being married to Teresa a bunch of times. I've had to tell the Lord, Lord, where's that love I have for that woman? I don't feel it, Lord. I want a divorce. You think I don't face that stuff? Come on, somebody. What do you think? I'm just over here in a rubber box. I got the same devil you face. I've got the same devil you have to deal with. I've got the same flesh right here that likes it his way. I don't like it not my way. And you know, that's why Jesus had to go to Paul and say, why do you kick against the brick? Why are you kicking against me, man? Why are you fighting against me? See, we don't mean to fight against the Lord. You know, when we do it, most time we don't just rebelliously do it. But you know what? We tie the hands of God. I mean, we tie the promises of God. I mean, it's like God came. You know, Jesus went down and he said he couldn't do no mighty works against the people that were familiar with him because of their unbelief. Jesus, the one that raised the dead, the one that cast out devils, the one that healed the sick, the one that called Lazarus out of the tomb, the very one that was able to raise the dead, couldn't do nothing down there among a bunch of people but touch a few folk, the Bible says. Give me that scripture, Zach. It's Mark chapter 5. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, thy daughter, this is not it. I'll give you the wrong scripture. That's not it. that's not it. I could probably preach that, but that's not it. Storm come up on the water. Jesus in the hinder part of the boat. I'll give you the wrong scripture. I wrote it down. I can quote it to you, but I want you to see it. Find it, bud. 435 through 40. We gonna get it. Same day when the evening was come, listen, this is Jesus now in red. He saith to them, let us pass over unto the other side. I want you to notice. After this, what happens? But notice what he tells them. See, Jesus knew the storm's coming. Jesus knows what you're going to face. He knows how your ungodly family are. He knew they was going to steal the guitars out of this church. He knew it. I'm telling you, God knew it. I'm telling you right now. God knew it. Now I could say, hey, now what's the use of trying to help church? Can't even get nobody to come after COVID. Then they steal the guitars. What's the use? I used to would have felt like that. Now I'm like, glory to God, we get new ones. Hallelujah. Time to get new ones. See, Jesus didn't tell me. He didn't tell me they was going to steal that 20 years ago when I started. Teresa come down here and she was shocked at how Christians are. I can't believe they're like that. I said, yeah, Faith Restoration sheltered us. I've been out there evangelizing for 7 years. I could have told y'all that's really, really happening. Guy comes in one time, Mac. He's dragging a big case. I've seen some stuff, man. He's dragging it, and it's full of CDs. And he's used to going to church and just singing his heart out anytime he wants to, and telling him how many songs he's going to sing and all that. And he goes right here. He comes over here and walks over, hey, man. I said, what's that? He said, I saw my CDs. I said, that's great. That's great. He said, how many are you going to let me sing this morning? I said, you ain't going to sing none here this morning. I said, Jesus ain't told me nothing about it. I didn't hear nothing before you got here. Nah, brother, I mean, I'm gonna do at least two. And I said, you ain't singing here, homie. I said, Lord sent you to sit here just to sit down and shut up and listen to some preaching this morning. Seemed a little rude, didn't it? Sometimes you got to deal with that spirit. I mean, who do you think we are? We've been fasting for a week. And you're going to come sing? And we've been practicing over here and doing praise and work. We've been going through. Did you know that it takes a lot out of us? That's why we're not doing it, to come practice. I don't believe it's all that hard. Why do we put you on the praise team? You want to take a nap. You get sleepy about the time you're supposed to get here. You feel like it's your only off time. Come on, somebody. It's the only time we got off to rest, and Pastor wants to practice four times a week. See, Jesus didn't say, now church, he didn't tell me start a church and there's going to be people that's going to betray you and lie on you and stab you in the back and claim that you're a lot of different things. He didn't tell me. I wouldn't have done it, Johnny, then. I'd be like, nah, I'll just out here. I'm going back to my church. Let God let them go to hell. I'm not going through all of that for them. I don't even know them. But he didn't tell me that. He just let them do it little at a time. That guy ain't never been back. Had a guy walk in back there. He's wanting to share all of his revelations with the church. So I'm sitting back there on the back. He walks in. He walks over right in the middle of Sunday school. That tells me, number one, you ain't about Jesus. Jesus is down here in Sunday school. Man got a message for the world, he ought to be in church somewhere. Not over here trying to get. He said, hey, could you make sure the pastor gets this? I said, sure I will. Yeah, sure I'll make sure he gets it, man. Thank you, man. God bless you. He walks out and I went, shh, 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 shh. Pastor got it. I'm not going to let our ship be rocked. We go into the other side and we're not going to be hindered in between. Hallelujah. There's nothing going to get. See, it would take me a month to tear down one sermon of false doctrine. It would take me a month to tear it down. I don't know what he believes. He might believe you raptured out before any trouble. I might believe you not. And if he brings that garbage here based on the Bible that I believe, I've got to fight that battle. How many knows there's some battles we don't need to entertain that we have to start fighting battles? See, there's some battles the enemy's bringing to our plate. Just like the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to stop Sunday night service. I said, I stood up and I said, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. See, we used to have Sunday morning, Sunday night, you know, Wednesday, you know, and when the Lord spoke to me, it took me 2 years to obey him. 2 years. I'm like, that lying devil, he's not talking me out of church. Bless God, everybody will backslide on just a Sunday morning service. Good God, we need to have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday, Thursday, maybe Saturday. I told the devil one time when he was messing with me, I told him, if you don't shut up about church, if you don't shut up and quit trying to get me to quit church, not go to church. He tries to get me not to go like y'all. I've just got a little more responsibility and it helps me. Responsibility will help you be mature. You just lay around la-la land and got nowhere held accountable and all that, you're going to stay spiritually shallow more than likely. You will stay spiritually shallow more than likely. And you will lose battles more than likely. You will get weaker and weaker more than likely. Not me. I like to fight the good fight. I don't like that losing junk. I hate it. I hate it. But you know what? The thing, let me read something. He says, and the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. Are there anywhere in the scripture where Jesus said he's going to teach you things with sickness and disease? He's told you by his stripes you heal, right? Go the other side. By his stripes, well, the doctor said, not go the other side. You just going to be crippled? Not go the other side. Jesus said, by his stripes ye were healed. Well, why does people die? I don't know about all that. I stay out of the arena of what and why. Why? Why some Christians prosper, why they don't? I don't know. There could be many scenarios. I stay out of that so that I stay clear and I keep my heart straight and my thinking straight in line with the Word of God so that it works for me. Maybe it didn't work for them. I don't know why. Stay out of that arena. That questioning. Went to the jails one time. This guy, he said, where did God come from, brother? I said, I don't know. I said, I'll go see if I can find it in the Bible. I said, right now, I don't know where God come from. So I go home, and I'm trying to find an answer to this guy that's wondering where God come from. Good, legitimate question. I'm thinking, I'll find out myself where God come from. Well, you can't find where God come from. He is. He says, I am the I am. He always has been, always will be. You know, and I thought, glory to God, where'd he come from? I started thinking the same thing he's thinking. Well, God, where'd you come from? He said, the devil's got you wondering that. He said, I said that I always have been, and I always will be. He said, I'm God. I said, good enough for me. So I realized that every week that got this guy on this endless question, and he's not growing spiritually. So I went back to him, and I said, he is the I am. Where'd he come from? He's always has been. Where'd he come from? He always has been. I said, there's no beginning with him. He always has been. I said, so the devil's had you stuck forever. How many months you've been in your jail, stuck on a question that is only leading you to deprive you spiritually? I said, are you born again? Are you saved? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew. Start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus when he come on the scene. Go start reading about Jesus prophesied. He's coming on the scene, and what he did for you and what you need to do for him. I said, you're doing these endless questions. Why? I mean, people ask me, why did sister so-and-so not prosper? She's a good Christian. I don't know. I'm not over at sister so-and-so's house. Maybe she's watching nothing but secular TV 24/7, going to church, clapping, shouting the name of Jesus, and not applying no scripture to her life. I don't know. But it's not going to fool me. It don't work for her. It ain't work. Oh, sister, she really loves Jesus. If it don't work for her, it ain't going to work. Nah, lying devil, I'm going to the other side. I went through Christmas, black God, going around looking where I can pass out some $100 bills. I just almost wanted to cuss and say something. But I don't know. Say, by golly, that devil's an idiot. If he thinks I'm going to stay broke and weak and sick when this Bible says, let us pass over to the other side of this poverty, other side of this sickness, other side of this oppression, other side of this lack and this discouragement. We are living in a time, listen, we come into 2021. In 2020, and you know what? They released me in December. The pandemic hit January or February. Here goes another confounded trial. The last one kept me out of church for just a little while. Did you notice I come in and I look like a white boy with no blood? I walked in here, barely made it to church. And some people, I almost call people up around here and say, hey, I got $100 reward for everybody that shows up for church. We would pack this house to the max on Sunday. I'm liable to do it, Mac. And just fast for a week or so before and make sure I'm led by the Lord and got the anointing where I can get them heathen saved and they won't take my $100. Well, we didn't feel like giving it to you, Master. I'm trying to use a little wisdom, you know. But you know, I mean, I remember here we are, the pandemic hit, shut down the church. Did you know how hard it is to shut down a church when you really don't want to? Some pastors loved it. Whew, thank God for the pandemic. Get a break from them stiff-necked people down there. That's on La La Land. They're going on vacation, baby. One of them told me, let's go live stream. I said, I can't get past the scripture where it says, forsake not the assembling. Well, we can assemble. I said, no, they don't say internet. They didn't have internet back under when the government told them don't come together. Churches went underground. They still do overseas. We got it good over here, man. They have to pray and fast to see where the Lord wants them to show up for church because they can't gather at the same place because they go in and behead them. Really cut our heads off across the sea over there. Dear Jesus, it's getting late. We ain't got service tonight. What do y'all got to do? Hallelujah. We're going into 2020. 2021, God spoke to my heart. And God said, tell them that 2021 is going to be a year of breakthroughs after the trials. The church is going to rise. We didn't lose. We didn't lose in 2020. We gained people in 2020. We gained finances in 2020. We did. We gained momentum spiritually. Now, some of us, y'all got to stay in church. You know, because you'll backslide. You got to go to the other side. where you can stay out for weeks and you're stronger when you come back to church than you was before we shut it down. I'm not half backslid. I'm fired up. Because you're the pastor. No, it ain't. I'm a Bible student. I fast and I pray and I rebuke the devil and I won't give my mind to the lies of the enemy. My mind is my mind and I choose what my mind dwells on. I choose to dwell on the Bible. I choose to have my heart set on the Lord. I choose to stay fixed on Him. Well, you got to work. I've been working all my life, baby, but God's number one to me. Work, the only reason I've got work is because of Jesus. I remember down there when I wouldn't keep a regular job. I quit my family, quit my wife, quit everything, and we didn't have nothing. We had a bunch of junk, that's all we had, praise God. And I start working and get born again, and today my baby drives good stuff. I told her not too long ago, I said, baby, do you really want a 2010 Camaro? Do you really want one? She's sitting there and she's thinking about it, Mac. I think it's just the flesh. If it had been me, Mac, and I think somebody go, I'd have said, yeah, I believe I want it. Yeah, I believe I do. But she's sitting over there checking herself, Mac, seeing if it's really what she wants in her heart. And you know what? She comes to the realization. And you know what? She passed her chance to get her. I'd have had her a 2010 Camaro. It wouldn't have took me long. I'm going to get it for my baby. My baby deserves a 2010 for me. I love her. Well, you know what? I was back in her. Ride that motorcycle, baby. You know, she rode a, I had her a Honda 250 or a 350. I don't remember what it was. She worked down here at a Double B down there. Go to work, baby, where went my car. She's on a motorcycle with a helmet. Mac, she's going to Double B to make us some money. Get them big tips. And then I thought, I got to go down there. Look, God, she's getting a pretty good bit of tips. She must be flirting. All them men's walking in there wanting to wait on her. She looked good then. She still looks good. She just a little older and I'm a little older. We both still look good. And so I got to go down there and hang out and mop the floors and stuff, Mac. See where all of these tips are coming from. Now you know what my baby can do if she wants to. Bye, baby. See you when you get in. Now, she don't do that, but she can. I'm just saying. She waited on the Lord. She married the best one on the planet. She couldn't have married. No, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. We didn't start out that way, but you know what? We started complying and following Jesus. And it ain't no different in 2021 than it was back under in 1994. The Word of God don't change. Jesus don't change. The Holy Spirit don't change. But you know, right after that, I won't go on because I done preached. And y'all took up too much time. I'm a preacher time. Y'all's fault. Testifying, Mac, preaching over. I'm blaming on you, Mac. But you know what? He said, let us pass over to the other side. Well, right after that, they get in a storm. And the Bible says there was other little ships with them, if you go read the story. They get in the storm. And then they go to worrying. I mean, you can look at it. They go to worrying. We're not supposed to worry. You're not supposed to worry about anything. Oh, I just don't know if we're going to catch them people that got the guitar. Listen, if $500 can't get them thugs, I can't nothing get them. Just forget it. Oh, Mac, he told me, he said, I can't even tell them I stole nothing from you talking to you. I said they didn't. Did you know I've learned the scripture over there where Paul said, you know, the Apostle Paul, he went through hell on earth. You go study this dude out. He went through some Acts chapter 24 over there. The Holy Spirit appeared to Paul and told him, everywhere you go, you're going to be put in prison. What if he told us that? What if the Holy Spirit showed up right after we got saved and said, you're going to prison? You're going to be beat. You're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be bit by a snake. You know, all of these things, you're going to have to suffer. Well, see, he told him, Ananias, lay hands on him. He said, I'm going to reveal to him the things that he's going to have to go through for the persecution he did to the church. See, these people persecuting the church just don't know they're persecuting Jesus. They're not persecuting us. They're persecuting Jesus. They didn't steal from us. They stole the Lord's instruments. He bought them. They got some anointed ones. They gonna get saved, man. I'm gonna meet them people. They're gonna confess to me one day. We was on drugs. I know it. I know it. Do you know Jesus? If I could meet them today, I will lead them to Jesus. I used to. I choke you down. We going to jail, all right, both of us. Thank God I'm a lover now. I done went to the other side. See, I done crossed that bridge. I done crossed that bridge of hatred. Did you notice how the pandemic, then here come all of the hate and all of the rioting and people hating one another and all of that. Then this God-awful rigged election that we had. And I'm believing God, January the 6th, it ain't over. That lying bunch of media. Ain't none of them tells the truth. I don't listen to them. I'm listening to God. I told God, I said, 70-something million of us voted for you, God. 70-something million of us voted for you. I didn't vote for Trump. I did not vote for him. I voted because he was pro-life. I voted because he was for the Christian church. There's some of them ready to shut us down. Then it's the next administration that wants in right now that's going to put persecution. Let it come to the church like times you've never seen before in your life of persecution to be a Christian. I told God, I said, I'm not turning loose, God. We're going to the other side. 70-something million of us voted for you, God, for you to be in, Lord, and make choices that are right for us, Lord, for the people, for babies. These babies' bloods are crying out, man. I mean, United States is going to be held accountable for the babies that are murdered that could have been evangelists and teachers and preachers and prophets and business people and all of that we voted against for voting for President Trump. That we don't have to pay to kill people, kill babies. See, and we go through our trials here at home. It gets rough, you know. Hey, it can be a riot at my house. Boy, Teresa can get, I mean, not nothing. She don't have, I mean, it can be a trial. She told me this morning, she said, there's a lot of clothes in the kitchen floor. Like I didn't know, I pulled them off and put them there. I'm thinking, I know they're there. I pulled them off in there. 3 days worth of them. I have to go kick them all the way to get out the side door. I know they're there. But see, the hint was, get them up. And so my thought is, hey, you're fixing to eat these good biscuits that I'm cooking and these eggs that I'm cooking and all of this good breakfast I've been cooking for 30 years. I thought, why can't you pick them up? What are you doing? Monty's doing Sunday school. You ain't got to study this morning. And all of a sudden I thought, you know what? I could cause the storm that I'm fixing to preach about in my house. So you know what I done? I manned up. I went in there and picked all the clothes up and took the belt out of them and put all my change. I manned up. Bible says when I was a child, I spake one. I'm a little teddy bear, buddy. But when I was a man, I put away them childish stuff. Go get the clothes up. For causing my baby a trial. She don't need a trial. All she has to do is get one phone call. You can be doing fine in your living room and you in a trial. One phone call. See, you got to decide to go. 2021 is going to be for the ones that have endured. For the ones that wouldn't give in to the trials and all of that stuff. For the ones that went through and said, God, this brought devastation. I mean, it did. It affected everybody on the planet. COVID-19 affected everybody. changed all of our lifestyles and put challenges into all of our lives, churches, businesses, still is, and all of that. There's places they can't have church today. They still won't let them, period. Come to the house of God. We're blessed here. We got a sheriff that ain't going to do none of that garbage. You know? But God said 2021 is going to be the year of breakthroughs for those that have endured. I read Revelations chapter 3 this morning, and the Lord just dropped it in my heart, spoke it to me one time, and I'm going to close with this. He said, behold, I see your strength, that you have a little strength. He said, and I open doors that no man can shut because you have endured. And God spoke to me. He said, I spoke to you that back in 1998, son. He said, and I'm telling you to tell your church that today. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for a word. That 2021 is going to be a year of breakthroughs because of the challenges that God's people have been through and endured. There's going to be breakthroughs in 2021, so you just hang on. It's going to be breakthrough after breakthrough. Houses, I could see houses and lands, and I mean just prosperity and people happy, planting flower beds and gardens, you know, and all of that. Just, I mean, enjoying. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know what? The lying news media said this is the new normal. And I thought, nope, black God, we ain't going to be no new normal. It's normal for us to have victory and serve God and go about with the joy of the Lord and living life and enjoying the works of our hands. That's normal. That we're going back to that normal at my house and my church and your house and your church. Because you know what? Praise God, we in this thing together and we're going to win. The Bible says no weapons formed against you will prosper. Bless God. You let it form. I looked up the word weapon, and it gives in a sense, when you study that word, it gives in a sense, anything that has the potential to harm you. So nothing that has the potential to harm you can prosper. The only way that it can, and I thought about this, is if you give the enemy the gun. If you give the enemy the ammo in your life, that's the only way that what he plans and plots can prosper in your life. Let's bury it.